My name is June Peters. This is the Zipang Recording Project, and I'm going to tell you the tale of Shu Katatuda. This story is about gardening and about an apprentice gardener and what happens if you don't water properly with a very good shadoof. A shadoof is a counterweighted watering mechanism designed to lift water easily from the irrigation canal. How do we know this story? Through what was said, in one telling the story to another, and through what was added by the other in detail. Through gossip and the telling of tales time upon time, and now I am telling it to you. At the beginning of time, Enki, the teacher, the god of subtle wisdom and fresh water, gave his teachings to a raven. Enki spoke to the raven. He said, "Raven, I give you instructions. Pay attention to my instructions. Raven, go to the shrine. First, chop and chew the black caul, which the incantation priests mix with the oil and the water. You'll find it in the back room of the shrine in a lapis lazuli bowl. Then you must plant the pieces in the vegetable plot in the trench that was dug for the leeks." The raven paid exact attention to the instructions of her master. She chopped and she chewed the caul. She planted the pieces in the vegetable plot. Then the raven performed the work of a man. She made the counterweight blocks of the shadoof bump up and settle down, that a bird, like the raven, should perform the work of a man, that she should make the counterweight blocks of the shadoof bump up and settle down, that she should make the shadoof bump down and rise up. Who had ever seen such a thing before? Then a plant grew up. It was like a leek, but it was an oddity. It was much bigger, standing straight up. It was sticking up like a leek stalk. But who had ever seen such an enormous thing before? The raven stood up. She climbed up the length of this oddity with a harness. With her beak, she rubbed the coal paste into the pistils of the plant. And now it was a date palm, the very first one. Who had ever seen such a thing before? It had scaly leaves surrounding its palm heart. Its dried palm fronds could serve as weaving material. Its shoots were like the surveyor's gleaming line, fit for the king's fields. Its branches were good for the king's palace for cleaning. Its fruit were fit food for the great gods. That a bird like the raven performing the work of a man could make the counterweight blocks of the shadoof bump up and settle down, that it could make the counterweight blocks of the shadoof bump down and rise up again, and could cause the very first date palm to grow. Who had ever seen such a thing before? This is what one said to the other, and the other added detail. At her master's command, the raven stepped into the region of wisdom and fresh water, into the Absu. So now what else did one say to another? What further did one add to the other in detail? This. The story of Shu Katatuda, the spotty youth. What did one say? What did the other say? This. Once when the goddess Inanna had spent an eon going around the heavens, after she had gone around the earth, after Inanna had gone around the heavens, gone around the earth, gone around Elam and Subir, gone around the intertwined horizon of the heavens and the earth, after all of that, she felt so tired she just had to lie down. There beside the Euphrates was a garden. In the garden was a poplar tree so immense and its shade so large that it was not diminished even at noon. So Inanna lay down and slept in the shade of the poplar tree in the garden beside the Euphrates. She slept the deep sleep of the goddess. Now the garden was tended by a gardener. Shu-Kalatuda was his name. Shu-Kalatuda was the son of Iggy-Zigzig. Shu-Kalatuda was to water the garden plots, to build the shadoof for the irrigation by the well among the plants, and to do the weeding. But really, he was just the apprentice gardener. He was just Shu-Kalatuda, and that means spotty youth. He was an in-betweener. He wasn't this and he wasn't that. He wasn't a child. He wasn't adult. He wasn't a man and he wasn't a boy. And he wasn't much of a gardener. He hadn't done the watering and he hadn't built the shadoof. And as for the weeding, he had got mixed up and pulled all the plants out by their roots and destroyed them. And not a single plant remained there, not even one. Then, what did the storm wind bring? It blew the dust of the mountains into his eyes. Of course it did. There were no plants to protect him. When he tried to wipe the corner of his eyes with his hand, he got some of the dust out, but not all, and some was left in. And when he raised his eyes to the lowlands, he saw where the sun rises, the exalted gods of the land themselves. When he raised his eyes to the highlands where the sun sets, he saw the exalted gods of the land themselves. And when he looked into his own garden, there, beneath his poplar tree, he saw a solitary sleeping spirit, someone fully in possession of all the divine powers, someone whose destiny was decided by the gods. In his own garden plot beneath the poplar tree, had he not looked there 5-10 times before beneath the broad shade of that Euphrates poplar and seen nothing, now he saw a sleeping goddess. She was so beautiful. A girdle of 7 divine powers covered her genitals. If only he had been a year younger, a little boy, he would have backed away, afraid, scared, because she was a girl. If only he had been a year older, a man, he would have bowed down, awed, overwhelmed, because she was a goddess. But he was Shu-Kalatuda, the spotty youth, the teenager. He could not help himself. He lay down beside her in her resting place. He undid the girdle of 7 divine powers and touched what should never have been touched. And he entered her inner sanctum without invitation. And then he kissed her and covered her up again and went back to his garden plot. And all the time, Inanna slept the deep sleep of the goddess. But when the day had broken and the great sun god Utu had risen, then she awoke and then she knew. Then she knew the disrespect and the violation that had been committed by that child man. Then the woman in her was furious. Inanna was considering what should be destroyed because of that violation. And in her fury, she filled the watercourses of the land with blood. There was no more water. Water no longer irrigated the land. It was blood that seeped into the land. The slaves no longer drew water from the wells. They drew blood. The black-headed people no longer drank water. Blood was their only drink. In her fury, Inanna searched for the one who had committed the violation, the disrespect, the one who had entered her inner sanctum without invitation. Where was he? He had returned to the mountains, to his father. He was telling his father the tale. My father, I was to water the garden plot to build the shadoof by the well amongst the plants and do the weeding, but I didn't do the watering and I didn't build the shadoof. And as for the weeding, I pulled all the plants out by their roots and destroyed them, and not a single plant remained there, not even one. Then what did the storm winds bring? It blew the dust
out of the mountains into my eyes, and when I tried to wipe the corner of my eyes with my hand, I got some of it out, but not all of it out, and some was left in. And when I raised my eyes to the lowlands, I saw where the sun rises the exalted gods of the land themselves. When I raised my eyes to the highlands where the sun sets, I saw the exalted gods of the land themselves, and then I looked into my own garden, and I saw a solitary spirit, someone who was fully in possession of the divine powers, someone whose destiny was already decided by the gods. In my own garden plot beneath the poplar tree, had I not looked there 5-10 times before beneath the broad shade of that Euphrates poplar and seen nothing, now I saw a sleeping goddess. She was so beautiful, a girdle of 7 divine powers covered her genitals. What did I do? I couldn't help myself. I lay down beside her in her resting place. I undid the girdle of 7 divine powers and touched what should never have been touched. I entered her. Then I covered her and kissed her and went back to my garden plot. And all the time she slept the deep sleep of the goddess. But when day had broken and the sun god Utu had risen, then she woke and she knew, and then she knew the violation, and in her fury she has filled the watercourses of the land with blood. In her fury Inanna searches for the one who has committed the violation, me. What am I to do? She is searching for me.
His father, Iggy-Sig-Sig, replied, "My son, run. Run to the city, join the city dwellers. In the company of all your brothers, the multitude of the black-headed people shall never find you." But now Inanna was mounted on a cloud. The south wind and a fearsome storm flood went before her, and a dust storm followed her. She cried out, "I search everywhere for the one who had intercourse with me." Where was the boy? At home with his father.
"Father, she still searches. It's because of her genitals. Now she's on a cloud. There's a flood storm before her and a dust storm follows her."
His father replied, "My son, run. Run to the city. Join the city dwellers. In the company of all your brothers, the multitude of the black-headed people, she'll never find you." In her fury, the woman was considering what should be done because of the disrespect to her person, what should be destroyed because of the disrespect of her genitals. She took a single rock in her hand. She blocked the highways of the land with it. Because of her, the black-headed people had no transport and no escape. She said, "I search everywhere for the man who had intercourse with me." But nowhere could she find him. Where was he?
At home with his father. "She has blocked the highways. Because of her, none travels, none escapes."
His father replied, "The city. Don't let her find you in the mountains." He found a way. He joined the city dwellers. His brothers, all together, the black-headed people, his brothers, he was not to be found in the mountains. The day had broken and Utu had risen. The woman inspected herself closely. Holy Inanna inspected herself closely. "Ah! Who will compensate me for the wrong done to me? Ah! Who will make amends for this violation? Should it not be the concern of my own father, Enki?" She directed her steps to the Absu of Eridu, the Absu, the region of wisdom and fresh water. She prostrated herself on the ground before Enki and stretched out her hands towards him.
"Father Enki, I should be compensated. Someone should pay for what's happened to me. I shall only re-enter my shrine, Inanna, and be quiet and still and leave peace after you have handed over that man to me. You have all wisdom and knowledge here in the Absu. Give him to me."
Enki, god of wisdom and fresh water, said, "Well, he's not really a man yet, but he's done the work of a man, so all right." Holy Inanna rose. She brushed herself off. She left the Absu of Eridu. She lifted up her arms and she stretched herself like a rainbow across the sky and reached thereby as far as the earth. She let the south wind pass across. She let the north wind pass across. What passes between the north wind and the south wind. Who knows? But Shukalatuda was afraid. Afraid, Shukalatuda made himself as tiny as possible. When he peeped out, he was alone and back in the mountains where he belonged. And that is where the great woman found him. She spoke. Dog! Ass! Pig! Shukalatuda replied to holy Inanna.
My lady, I was to water the garden plot, to build the shadoof by the well amongst the plants and do the weeding, but I didn't do the watering and I didn't build the shadoof. And as for the weeding, I pulled all the plants out by their roots and destroyed them, and not a single plant remained there, not even one. Then what did the storm wind bring? It blew the dust of the mountains into my eyes, and when I tried to wipe out the corner of my eyes with my hand, I got some of it out, but not all of it out, and some of it was left. And when I raised my eyes to the lowlands, I saw where the sun rises, the exalted gods of the land themselves. And when I raised my eyes to the highlands where the sun sets, I saw the exalted gods of the land themselves. And when I looked into my own garden, I saw a solitary spirit, someone fully in possession of the divine powers, someone whose destiny was decided by the gods. In my own garden plot beneath the poplar tree. Had I not looked there 5-10 times before beneath that broad shade of that Euphrates poplar and seen nothing, now I saw a sleeping goddess. I saw you. I had never seen anything so beautiful. A girdle of 7 divine powers covered your genitals. Why did I do it? I couldn't help myself. I lay down beside you in your resting place. I undid the girdle of 7 divine powers and touched what I should never have touched. I entered you. Then I covered you and kissed you, and I went back to my garden plot. And all the time you slept the deep sleep of the goddess. And then you woke. And you were so angry.
So, what is this to me? You did the work of a man without respect or responsibility. You knew right and you knew wrong. You chose. You will die.
She struck him. She hit him. She changed him there and determined his destiny. But as she did, holy Inanna spoke a word to Shukalatuda.
This was her word. You will die. But your name will not be forgotten. Your name will exist in songs down the ages and make the songs sweet. The youngster will sing your name when he grazes the sheep. The goatherd will hum your name as she tumbles her butter churn. The glamorous young singer will perform the song of your story to great acclaim in the king's palace. What did one say to the other? What did the other one add? This story I have told you, this song I have sung you, this, the song of Shukalatuda, the boy who broke the rules.